And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing?
Doing okay. I feel like I haven't given a gout update in a while, so, it's not totally gone. I'm still wearing flip-flops, unfortunately, for you in the studio.
Yeah, you're looking a little gingerly walking in today.
You think so?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I was going to say, I think I'm getting a little better, but we'll see. I don't know. Permanent gout. Didn't know that was a thing.
Is this a potential to be concerning, how long this gout has lasted?
Well, I think maybe I may have damaged the foot. Like, it may be, you know what I mean? Like, it may be.
Sometimes it can take a while for nerve damage to, you know.
Yeah, I guess, if that's what it
regenerate.
Is. Regenerate. Yeah, that's if true. That's what it is. I mean, again, in the past, it's always been like about 3, 4, or 5 days, and then you're totally fine. So this is now weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
So,
Mariota when he hurt his elbow, and he felt the, nerve damage in there.
That's a good point. I mean, I hadn't even considered nerve damage, and now you got me really freaking out, man. Thanks.
Well, it'll regenerate, he said.
Just got to give it time.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Can I get another entire new foot to regenerate? That'd be cool. Just burp, new one sprout out and cut this one off.
Well, let's figure that out.
Yeah. All right, that's enough gout talk for the day.
Joe sufficiently freaked out 2 minutes into the show. Got that going for us. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing great. Happy hump day, everybody.
Happy hump day.
SEC Media Days. Rolling on,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah. All the hard-hitting news.
A lot of stuff going on at SEC Media Days. Day number 3 out there today. Tennessee and Vanderbilt are now done, so we'll see what comes of it today.
So we get Kellen DeBoer coming up stuff?
Well, Alabama today. So
Bama, yeah. That used to be a big deal. I mean, it's still a big deal because that's Alabama, but... Yeah, Kellen DeBoer doesn't...
Not quite the same pop.
Yeah, like it's very doubtful he's going to like start barking at Feinbaum like he might have had it happen before.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah.
Although, I'd kind of like to see it.
Like, yeah, show some fire, man.
Get in there.
Show some fire, absolutely. Your dad would like to see some fire.
Yeah, he said... we went to dinner last night, and he says, DeBoer loses 4, he's out the door. Remember it. And I said, all right, we'll see.
That's a bumper sticker.
Yep, we'll see what happens on that front. Tennessee addressing the media yesterday. They were on with Chase and Big Joe, Arian Carter. Josh Heupel got on with Chase and Big Joe, so those were fun to hear. Joe, we happen to know who some of the Tennessee players are, which apparently Stilley has a problem with. Heard some of that yesterday, too. We're going deep in the weeds because we were talking about players that Tennessee has.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play that. I have to isolate that clip, and that'll be a nice, save it for a rant someday, or maybe just, play it for
Robbie and Joe going deep in the weeds.
Yeah.
They started listing the quarterback.
It's so weird on a sports talk show to know players on a sports team. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh, God. I enjoyed it. It was funny.
Yeah, it was something. So now he's back on vacation?
I think so.
Ducking me again, huh?
He's back out.
I'm not sure.
I think he's out of there today.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, maybe you think that's what it is? You think he's just ducking the competition?
It's funny. It's funny. It's funny how it works out. Oh, I'm watching Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark almost getting a fight last night?
Yeah, she was very upset with the referee. Apparently, that's a lot of that going on in the WNBA. A lot of upset. A lot of people upset with the officials.
Okay, so she had to be held back from an official. Yeah, there's a lot of... WNBA officials stink talk in the world.
I mean, a lot of that going on.
Yeah, yeah. So, I will say they definitely need to get a handle on things. Looks like Caitlin Clark lit it up, though, huh?
I
was actually watching the All-Star game last night. Did you watch it?
I did not watch 1 second of the Major League Baseball All-Star game. I mean, look, we've talked about this before. All-Star games, really, of each sport, very difficult for me to care. It's just very difficult.
Yeah, no, we have talked about it, and I've agreed. It is funny how when your team is the best team in baseball and the pitcher's starting the game, although he gave up 2 runs. But that's all right. Get out of your system, Terry Skubel.
That's right.
And you have a bunch of players on the team. You actually kind of want to watch it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I watched the most of that or probably any All-Star game in a long time.
I saw a clip of Clayton Kershaw was mic'd up talking to the broadcast, and that was kind of fun for a little bit.
I tell you what, I was going to say, I think that's kind of cool. Like, they had Skubal, he's pitching, and he's just, I guess I'll go slider here, you know, Which, I mean, that's a good idea for an All-Star game, obviously.
Well, Kershaw asked, he's like, Smoltz, what do you want me to throw here? And Smoltz was like, throw a cutter. He's like, I don't throw a cutter.
Yeah, I don't throw a cutter, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
He's like, how about a slider? I don't have a cutter. Yeah, I actually saw in a game a few weeks ago, because, you know, I hate the basketball quick little interviews. I don't think there's much value in them at all, yeah. You know, like in-game interviews. But somebody for the Twins was mic'd up in the field during a game.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, obviously he's out there playing and he's talking to guys, but then it's like between pitches, it'll be like, yeah, so yeah, like this summer, you know, I just took the kids out to the water park. And, oh, here we go. And I was like, I will say that, like, that is, I never would have thought of that as something to do, but it was kind of cool and it was a lot better than, like, the basketball, you know, quick huddle interview.
Of the sports where you can do that, baseball is at the top of that list.
Right. Right? I mean, it's like the only one, you can't
mic somebody up in the middle of a football play or a hockey shift or a fast break in basketball. Like, there's a lot of downtime in baseball. Like, yeah. you're standing around out there a whole lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it.
I do, too. And, I mean, that is in particular for an All-Star game is exactly when you should do stuff like that.
I agree. So, I'm glad you enjoyed the MLB.
It wasn't bad, man. It wasn't bad.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Josh Heupel addressing the media yesterday at SEC Media Days. Joe, it went about exactly how I thought it would, which is he is not going to say anything about who the starting quarterback is going to be, which was expected heading in there. He kind of opened things up talking about the quarterbacks, saying that they'll have a competition. He included all three players there, including George McIntyre. So my guess is we're not going to find out who the starting quarterback is until pretty close to game week of the Syracuse game. So we're probably still over a month away from knowing exactly who the starting quarterback is going to be for Tennessee. So no big surprises there. It was interesting. You know, I think I did sense, Joe, a little bit of irritation from the Tennessee contingent yesterday in terms of I think they get the vibe that people don't expect them to do a whole lot this year now that Nico's gone. And I know that pissed off Miles Kitzelman yesterday because he was talking about – you're going to look up and Tennessee's going to be 7-0 and you're going to be wondering, well, how in the world are they doing this? So Kitzelman clearly bothered by that. And even Heupel, like some of the things he said yesterday, you can tell that he's paying attention to that a little bit. And he had this statement on with Chase and Big Joe. And Chase asked him about the idea out there that ever since the Nico thing went down, what about the Vols and Heupel getting a pass? And here's what Heupel said to that question by Chase and Big Joe yesterday.
Man, it's been a long time since I walked into a ball game not thinking that we were going to win that ball game. It's been a long time, long before I got to Tennessee. Nobody in our program has ever used anything as an excuse from day one when we got there. When I got there, said we're good enough to win right now. Now, your margins might be different, you know, year to year, team to team. Your margins can be different, but this football team is good enough to go win. And, you know, that's the athletic traits that we have, both sides of the football. It's what we have in our staff room. We got to go compete and go take it every play, every practice, every day. And ultimately you get to kick off and, you know, coaches and players together got to find a way to go win the game.
You could sense a little bit of, and Chase texted me after that. He was like, you should have seen Heupel's face when I asked him about the idea of Tennessee and him getting a pass this year. And I was like, yeah, I saw it. And I was watching the YouTube feed. He did not seem to enjoy that. You could sense a little bit from the Tennessee contingent yesterday, a little bit of, all right, you just wait and see how good we're going to be. Now, whether or not it plays out that way, we're going to find out. But that was really the one takeaway I had from Tennessee yesterday, Joe, which was I think that they think they're going to be a whole lot better than the experts seem to.
Yeah. Yeah. Better than people, even people who mute themselves, think they'll be. Yeah. Look, if you have this opportunity as a coach, as a program that's had this kind of success, to do the we'll prove you wrong, you will certainly lean into it.
Oh, they're going to.
And yeah.
They're going to lean into it.
So, how did Chase phrase it? He said,
you know, basically. He started talking about here's the question that Chase had to Heupel that set up that answer yesterday.
Josh Heupel is with us, Vols head coach. You played this game at a high level, you've coached this game at a high level, and you know that excuse. There are no such thing.
Nobody cares.
At excuses.
That's what I love about this game. The only thing that matters is when the clock ticks zero.
So you probably know where I'm about to go.
You're either plus one or you're not. That's all that matters.
There's this narrative that with the quarterback situation and what happened with Nico, that you might get a pass this year. That if things don't go well, the Vols get a pass. Coach Heupel gets a pass. Does that piss you off when you hear that?
Man, it's been a long time since I walked into
there. Was.
Oh, and then you nice fade. The fade, the answer. Ian's I like
pro.
That. Man, look at that.
Ian's an absolute pro.
Okay, that was good. I like that. I like that question. Does that piss you off? And by the way, I actually heard Stilley, I guess he was reacting and saying, they don't get a pass. They get a pass. But I don't know any of the players on their team, and I never will, but they get a pass. Yeah.
Sam Aguilar is going to throw the ball around this year.
Sam Aguirre. Whatever.
Don't talk about the quarterback. It's going too deep in the weeds. We don't
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Jimmy Joe corner and Bobby Sue at corner.
Peyton Manning's going to be playing quarterback this year for the Vols.
But, yeah, that's Heupel.
Where's Casey Clawson?
Heupel will use this for sure. And it's interesting that Kitzelman, because I saw that too, you know, 7-0. I'm like, so wait, are you losing the eighth game? Like, who is the eighth game on the schedule? Why aren't you 8-0?
That's a good question.
But, yeah, of course they're going to use that. And at the same time, I mean, I think that the pass thing is one of those things, that whole question and answer, it really is separate from them, obviously, right? Like, they're going to try to win every game. They think they can win every game. They're going to talk about how everybody doubts them. But it is interesting for Vols fans. Okay, so they go 8-4. They go 7-5. What is the temperature? What is the feeling, you know, around the program at that point? I mean, that's something that Heupel doesn't know either.
Look, I mean, look, there was a contingent of Vol fans that were ready to move on from Josh Heupel after they lost to Ohio State last year. So that's always worth keeping in mind in these discussions.
Sure.
Like, you're going to run into some of that no matter what with Tennessee fans, and it's a big enough fan base where whatever small representation that is of the fan base is not necessarily indicative of how most people feel. But I'm here to tell you, if they go 7-5 or 8-4 this year, and I said this immediately after the Nico thing, there will be people that are ready to move on from Josh Heupel. It will happen. Sure. So I think we all need to prepare ourselves accordingly for that. I think there's about a 0% chance that actually happens this year in terms of if they did go 7-5 or 8-4, they ain't firing Josh Heupel.
Oh,
it's not happening.
Of course not.
So it's not even worth bringing up.
No,
nor should they, by the way.
No, nor should they. I don't think that's a – yeah, it's just like that's the – space between, you know, like the actual hot seat and crazy people on the internet. It's like, okay, what percentage of like reasonable Tennessee fans / even like media, you know, are starting to wonder. I tend to think that he'll get a pass from media. I mean, I like if they go 8-4 this year, 7-5. Again, you have to go through it and see it.
Yeah, what's it look like?
Yeah, like is the offensive line continue to be so bad that you're like, okay, and you are sticking. Some coaches are too loyal to some assistants. That is absolutely a problem with some coaches, and it can really get them in trouble. So it's like, how does it look? Is such a big part of that.
Well, there's another part of that I want to get to coming up next. I think it's a huge, huge year for one person in particular on this staff. And we're going to get into that coming up next. We'll get into some more comments from Tennessee players yesterday at SEC Media Days. We got a lot going on the show today. We got some Predators thoughts to get into. There are some signings in the NFL to get to, some Titans talk to get to. We got a lot of things happening today on the program. We'll take your thoughts through all of it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, I mentioned big year for somebody in the offensive staff. I think this is massive for Joey Halsley, their offensive coordinator. This is a year where you need to see something offensively that's got an uptick to it. And because of the situation he's walking into this year, with uncertainty at quarterback, the youth that we discussed at wide receiver, some inexperience on the offensive line in some spots, I'm really interested to see how they handle that this year. Because on paper, I mean, you don't feel great about the Tennessee offense this year. There's a lot of consternation discussion about Joey Halsley anyway. And we talked about that the day the season wrapped up last year of, man, if you're Heupel, do you have to take a look at Halsley and your offensive operation? And again, like, we probably go back to 2022 and Hendon Hooker and Jalin Hyatt too much in this discussion, because I think the more distance you get from that, the more you look back and say, man, that's a pretty special combination they got there, and I just don't know when they're going to get that level of play again. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Hendon Hooker threw for 58 touchdowns and 5 picks in 2 years at Tennessee. I mean, that's absolutely absurd, and that doesn't even count what he did on the ground. So, like, it's pretty hard to hold an offense to that sort of standard. But, Joe, I do go back, like, you know, I've gone down the YouTube rabbit hole the last couple of weeks because I'm all sauced up and ready for some college football. And you're watching, like, highlights from 2022, and it's like, wow, Jalin Hyatt's lined up in the backfield. They're running a wheel route with him. And, wow, they got Princeton Fant, like, split out wide, sending him in motion, doing it on a jet sweep. It's like, what? They're doing all these things that you just haven't really seen them do the last few years and utilizes. And one of the things that really stands out, Joe, is a whole lot of it's coming over the middle of the field. And it's like, man, they really trusted Hendon Hooker to throw that ball over the middle of the field. And maybe some of it's just as simple as that, that they have not trusted Milton and Nico the last 2 years to do some of that and to make those reads over the field. But I feel like this is a massive year for Joey Halsley, who to this point to me in the passing game, and you can blame whoever you want to blame for it. You can blame him. You can blame the quarterbacks, whatever it is. I think the way that their offense has been run the last few years has been pretty underwhelming in the passing game, and I think it's a big year to determine exactly what that looks like this year. And by the way, Heupel's part of that.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think that you talk about a pass. That's where maybe a pass – look, we've talked a lot on this program, thanks to Brandon, about Glenn Ellerbe on the offensive line. And at some point, you've got to – at some point, I think pretty soon, you've got to start developing and, you know, really producing some really good SEC offensive linemen from players you've recruited out of high school. But I'm with you. I think Halsley might be the guy who – and, you know, it's his third, it's going to be his third quarterback or whatever, third, fourth, fifth,
Get deep into the numbers this year.
Yeah, but, you know, so, like, from that perspective, no, he hasn't been able to work with someone who played at the level of Hendon Hooker. You have to keep that in mind. At the same time, there is no doubt in my mind, and I've said this many times on the show, that it's been a step down for Tennessee. Alex Golish, we'll see what he does at South Florida, but he got a head coaching job for a reason.
Yeah,
he's a legit. Like, you look at his career and his career path and the different things he's done, like coaching tight ends at Iowa State and the variety of backgrounds, and that's what he did. He kind of melded some things together. They played more power football than people realized back then. Wasn't a lot of it, but they had it. Yep. They had it in their bag, and they could execute it. And, you know, Halsley is one of those guys who he is. And again, this is like one of those things, Robbie. It's like, you know, it's like when you think about, like, when David Poyle was GM and we were talking about, like is Brian Poyle, like, it, Brian Poyle could have been the greatest personnel person in the league, but because his last name was Poyle, like, that was always going to cut against him, right? With, like, the public. And with Halsley, like, he is the classic guy you look at as too loyal to your guys, because Heupel had him in his QB room when he was a kid at Oklahoma. And he's basically followed him around. I mean, he was an offensive GA the year that Heupel got fired, and then he's an analyst with him at Utah State. He's an analyst and assistant QB coach at Missouri. He's an analyst at UCF. Then he gets the big step up to a full-time position coach in college football, which is a big deal, big money difference, which is quarterbacks coach at 2020 in UCF. And then he comes here as QB coach. Well, 2022, pretty great. Yeah, like, he was a QB coach for some great QB play, but was he ready to be the OC? Is he ready to be the OC? Is he a good enough OC for Tennessee to try to program that's trying to win a national championship? It's a very fair question to ask right now.
Well, you know, they've made a couple of adjustments on offense. I mean, they've hired, you know, Landry Jones is coming in, former Oklahoma quarterback, as an analyst. And they've got Seth Luttrell that's also in there as well. So I have no idea what sort of an impact those two guys are going to have on what they do offensively this year. If you're a Tennessee fan, I guess the one thing that I'd feel good about, and I know they just lost Dylan Sampson, but this team has been able to run the ball regardless of who the running back has been. I mean, Heupel talked about it yesterday. They've run for 2,500 yards at least every year that he's been here, and that's an absurd number. And some of that's just the offense they run. I do have questions, Joe, of if the quarterback play falls to a level where the other team just does not feel like the quarterback and the passing game is a huge threat, how will that change how teams try to defend Tennessee, and does that make it harder to run the ball? I guess we'll see on that front. But until proven otherwise, I'm just going to assume that they're going to run the ball pretty effectively.
Yeah, I think so. I think that I think the offense automatically, like, it does force you, it forces the box to be lighter from the start. And then, obviously, you have to win. You have to be good enough to win. So, even though we rip on the offensive line, I mean, they've had some good players. They've had some good offensive line play, good blocking. It absolutely helps when the box is lighter. I mean, you'd have to be, to me, pretty incompetent throwing the ball for that to change a lot, you know. We've also seen the teams, you know, like Georgia, every year they just beat them. You know, they just beat them one-on-one.
Yep.
They win their matchups. They have better players. And, you know, and that makes a difference. Yeah, Latrell's an interesting ad for sure. You know, a guy who, of course, again, we're going back to – I'm trying – I guess he didn't play with Heupel. I guess he was a – maybe he was a grad there, but he played right before Heupel got there, I think. I could be wrong. They might have played 1 year together, but regardless, you know, it's a guy who has done some good stuff, has, of course, been a head coach for North Texas, had a pretty decent tenure there too. So does he come in and add a really important voice? He might.
He did play with Heupel, by the way.
He played with Heupel. Yep. Okay, that's last year. Yeah, okay, so there you go.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Athletic has come out with their way too early NHL predictions. And let me tell you, if you're a Predators fan, you may want to shield your eyes from this, and we'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Don't miss out on some of Nashville's best deals. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals, and you can purchase half off on gift cards for places like Red's Hot Chicken, Mellow Mushroom, Brewster's, and many more. Check it out again at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe, you brought this to my attention yesterday. I had not seen it, and then I looked at it, and I was like, whew, okay.
Yeah.
All righty. The way too early predictions for the NHL season next year that the Athletic staff has put together. And there's a lot of things in here. I mean, it's anything from Stanley Cup champion to who finishes with the fewest points to surprise playoff teams. There's a lot that they cover in here. And none of it really speaks kindly to the Predators. A couple things on this. Number one, the coaching part of this, and the coach most likely to get fired first is one thing that they touch on in here. And Andrew Burnett running away with it with the vote here. He gets 43.5% of the vote of the first coach fired next year. And there's some interesting candidates in here, like your boy Patty Waugh is on here at 8.7%. Jim Hiller from the Kings is number two on the list at 26.1%. But 43.5% of the vote, almost half of the vote, went to Andrew Burnett as the first coach fired. And Sean Gentile put it this way, quote, "We heard the whispers about Andrew Burnett's job security last season, and Nashville's roster looks even worse for 2025-26. That's not a great combo. Also, Jared Bednar and Chris Knobloch on this list, too, which is interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. But, yeah, 43%, if it doesn't sound like much, like it's second place is who?
Second place is Jim Hiller with 26.1.
Hiller at 26.1.
There's like a 20% gap between those two.
Yeah, running away with that one. So, and I wasn't surprised, but it is still like a, oh, yeah, wow. Now, that's traditionally he would be, you know, the favorite.
Yes.
That's how they're looking at it. Not everybody just does what everybody else does.
That is true.
Worth keeping in mind.
It is worth keeping in mind. on that front. It's also interesting they go through the playoff field here. And it's like, all right, so who are some maybe some prize playoff teams next year? And then they actually just break down the entire playoff field. So, for instance, like everybody who voted on this thing is putting Vegas in the playoffs next year. Why wouldn't you? Colorado, Edmonton, like there's nobody that voted on this that doesn't have them in the playoffs. You look down the list and it's like, all right, well, 91% of people think that the Minnesota Wild are making the playoffs. That may be a little high, 91%, but okay. Utah Mammoth have had a good offseason. So you start looking around and it's like, huh, I wonder if anybody voted for the Predators to make the playoffs. Nope, nobody.
Zero.
Zero people voted for the Predators to make the playoffs next year. I think the lowest registered one on here is Calgary at 4.3%, but the Predators – not getting a vote to make the playoffs next
year. Yes, I took part in this, by the way, and I did not vote for the Predators, obviously, because no one did.
Correct.
But yes, it was quick. I mean, you go through the playoff field, and there's a few teams that I would have picked first before them at this point to make the playoffs.
Yeah. So. I mean, the one bit of solace that I guess if you're a Predators fan you can take away from this poll at The Athletic is – they also did a which team is going to finish with the fewest points, and the Predators did not crack the top four on that one. Chicago leading the way at that one. Which, but if they finish with the fewest points again, I know they were second last year. If they finish with the fewest points, like their general manager is going to get fired. Like you can't wait forever, right? I know it's a rebuild.
Yeah,
but they've been a rebuild for a little bit.
They have been. It's been fun to see. But yeah, I agree. It's like great. You lucked out and got Connor Bedard. So that's on your record, but like, what else have you done? At some point, can you be a little bit competitive? Another interesting thing about this in the comments when it came out, a reader was basically like, "This is stupid." You know, was his point? But it's like a year ago, some of you, I think there were a few votes for the Preds to win it all.
Yep.
And there was, and the GM of the year winner was Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
So
shows you how quickly things can change.
It does.
And exactly what these kind of things ultimately mean.
Like, yes. It shows you how quickly things can change, how we don't know what's going to happen. But it also shows you that like, it wasn't just around here that, in case people forgot, it wasn't just around here that we were like, wow, the Preds, oh my goodness. Like, around the league, people were like, whoa.
Yeah.
That could be amazing.
Again, like, you'll go back to the beginning of last season, and you will be hard-pressed to find anybody who did not have the Predators making the playoffs. And you'll be hard-pressed to find most people who did not have them in the top three of the division. And look at where they ended up. So if you're a Predators fan looking at this and you're trying to have some hope for next year, it's, well, look, everybody was wrong about them last year. Maybe they'll be wrong about them again on the other side this year.
Exactly. You know, be just as wrong about them this year as you were last year, and things it could be a fun season.
But I don't think you're going to have to, like, if we talked about Tennessee and playing the, you know, the disrespect card, to a much higher degree, this is going to be for the Predators. Like, there's no one that's going to pick the Predators to make the playoffs this year based on where they finished and where their roster currently is. And you're looking at their center depth right now, and it's like, oh, Fedor Svechkov is their number two center. Okay. There's not going to be anybody that picks the Predators to make the playoffs this year by the time it rolls around.
So, Preds, team with a chip on the shoulder. Vols, team with a chip on the shoulder. Titans, team with a chip on the shoulder. Vanderbilt football, got to prove everybody right.
Just as close to 2-10.
You're good.
As they are 10-2.
That is true. You know, by the way, I heard that, and I think the math is wrong.
Is it?
Well, yeah, it's actually just as close to 11-1 as to 3-9.
If you're going bowl game, yeah, sure.
No, but 11-1, right?
I mean, I took it as they were 6-6, and they had, like, how many one score games they have last
five.
Year? 5. Was it 5? Okay. Well, then maybe you're right then.
Yeah, so that's it was five, if I'm correct. But regardless, Vanderbilt football, that's the team in the state that's like, everybody's like, ooh, that could be, everybody else
don't
is like,
get
you
caught
stink.
Up in your success, baby.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in it.
Yeah, don't get cocky, Vanderbilt football. Everybody else, you stink.
You know what would be great
prove
around
us,
here?
Prove to us that you don't stink.
It'd be awesome around here to not have, like, the underdogs at some point. It'd
right.
be like, hey, we think we're going to be pretty darn good, and we are. Like, we're pretty good. Like, it'd be nice to to feel that way.
That's Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's, that's what they are. They're talking about playing in January. So they're
nice for the Titans or the Predators to be like, you know what? Not only do we think we're good, we are. Now we're going to come kick your butt. And then they go do it. That'd be nice. Been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Yeah. And, I mean, it could be kind of a rough year. It could be another rough fall.
I mean,
Diego Pavia, glad you're around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Hey, man.
And Sam Aguayare.
Yeah.
Whatever. Jared.
Looking forward to watching him play quarterback. Be good.
Yeah.
I got one text that says, it seems like everyone except the Preds front office can see the train wreck the 25-26 season is likely to be. We'll find out. I mean, look, they believe that they've gotten better on defense, and if they have gotten better on defense, that will certainly help. We'll see how much better they've gotten, and if there's any sort of improvement on offense. I mean, what you're hoping for right now is that Andrew Brunette is coming. I mean, he's cooking up with, you know, some sort of tweak that just really opens things up offensively. Because right now, looking at their roster, they're going to need it.
Yeah. But you look at their roster, a lot of people who have done really good things in the league. So, do you go from worst possible scenario for a whole bunch of people to, I'm not going to say best, it's not going to be best for some of them, because some of them are like, their best is
7 years ago.
Yeah, but good? Maybe. What if that's the case?
Maybe. You get a shot. It's hard for me to believe.
I've seen crazier things than like this Preds team being good in sports, because it's just sometimes you can't explain why some things work and some don't, but it is right now seems like a Hail Mary.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A couple big deals in the National Football League the last couple of days, including one of especially local interest around here. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend. And 1025 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. Joe, a couple of big deals the last 2 days in the NFL. Trey Smith reaching a 4-year, $94 million contract with the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. He's got $70 million in guaranteed money, which is the most guaranteed money that's ever been given to an NFL guard. So congratulations to Trey Smith, who was franchise tagged by Kansas City, and the deadline to reach a deal was coming up, and they got it, and he gets his payday. So, you know, early in the offseason, we wondered, would Kansas City be able to come to a deal with Trey Smith? They end up tagging him, and now they've got the deal done. 4 years, $94 million, $70 million of which is guaranteed.
Well, first of all, just on a personal note, pretty awesome to see this for Trey Smith. I think he's one of the favorite guys I've covered at Tennessee. Just amazing family, and a guy who thought, you know, he might be done playing football. Came in with all the hype and everything of being like the top. I don't even remember. What was he as a recruit? He was
high.
I mean, I know he was like an offensive tackle, I think, as right coming out, and then he moves inside, but you're talking about five-star, huge, huge recruit, actually, for Butch Jones. Again, just an incredible leader, person, and I got it. I get the blood clots. I do. And so you have that concern. So you're going to move him. Some team's going to move him off their board. Him going where he did in the draft still is a head-scratcher to me.
It's amazing.
And obviously here with the Titans, you know, That could have avoided some trouble had they just scooped him up in the middle rounds there. But a lot of teams missed on him, and it's great to see him get past all the blood clot stuff. And look, some people are gonna look at this and say Kansas City, it's a guard, but he's a pretty good freaking player, so good for him.
Yeah, good to see, and that's a lot of money. $70 million guaranteed. It's a heck of a lot of money, so. Look, he's been worth it. He's been a really, really good player. And, you know, the cap continuing to go up in the NFL, so we'll see what that ends up looking like. But I saw that yesterday, and I was like, cool, way to go, Trey Smith. Nice job. Garrett Wilson a four-year, $130 million contract extension with the New York Jets as well. So while the Jets as a whole have been underwhelming the past few years, and I thought when Rodgers signed there that Garrett Wilson was just going to put up some insane numbers, and you saw some of the training camp videos like right when Rodgers got there of those two really connecting well. And then, of course, Rodgers tears his Achilles the next year. They're not any good at all, and it just did not work out the way. But he still ends up with a four-year, $130 million contract, $90 million guaranteed. It is the fourth most in wide receivers contract, this according to Schefter that put it out there, and $32.5 million average. So, again, I don't really care much about the average in today's NFL. Like, just look at the guaranteed money and what that looks like. But Garrett Wilson getting a big deal, and we'll see if he ever gets a quarterback to throw him the ball up there in New York.
Yeah, it seems like a ridiculous deal. He's really good, but it still seems like, my gosh. But it just, it's not a market-setting deal. These numbers are going to go up as they have been. They're going to keep going up. So it doesn't, it seems like a reasonable deal. I think he's that good. You know, I am interested to see, you know, if he can ever like put anything together. Who the heck? So they've got, you got to help me out with the New York teams. I seriously keep getting them mixed up. Russ is with the Jets.
No.
Russ is with the Giants.
Justin Fields.
God, why am I? Yeah, it's like the Steelers split off into New York.
Yeah. So congratulations, Garrett Wilson. You're going to have Justin Fields throwing you the ball this
Who's
year.
Who's their backup?
I don't know who the backup is.
Not even like it's any kind of – that's a pretty sweet deal for Justin Fields to emerge with like just a straight-up starting job with no threat to the job.
Like, is Tyrod Taylor still there? I think he is.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I like – I've always wanted Justin Fields not – you know, playing for the Bears. But, you know, I thought he was going to be good. I just don't see him – putting everything together based on everything we've seen. It is amazing that to me that he like doesn't even have
there's no challenger.
And
I guess Tyrod Taylor could end up being the starting quarterback.
Yeah, but again, if that's the case, that tells you how bad of a signing it was.
Yeah,
you know, like ideally you'd want like an actual challenger, like someone young or a veteran who, you know, a little bit more juice than Tyrod Taylor, who at this point has got to be what, 35?
He's 35. Yeah,
yeah.
He'd be 36 here in a few weeks, so got that coming up. And he played two games last year, threw three touchdowns, no picks, completed 77% of his passes. Maybe they should have played him a little more.
Maybe. I mean, he is the quintessential, you know, play to your 40 backup QB in the NFL who can go in there and win you a game. You can come in here, you can come into Nashville and beat the number one seed.
Yep. Josh says Jameis is the backup for the Jets. Jameis is actually with the Giants.
He's also with the Giants.
See, yeah, so there it is. I do
Russ
the same
with the Giants,
thing.
Jameis with the Giants, and they drafted
Dart.
So there you go. There's your three quarterbacks in New York for the Giants.
And I do that. And that, see, that's going to be interesting. And that's it. You know, like, so Russ is in a much more vulnerable situation with his job.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
Than Justin Fields is, which it's just. Probably, I guess. I mean, really, you tip the cap to the Giants, I guess. I mean, we'll see if Dart's a good pick. But, yeah, just absolutely hand the whole thing over to Fields. I mean, Kirk Cousins got to be looking at that being like, my God.
Terry McLaurin spoke yesterday. I guess he was at a commercial shoot, and some reporters caught up to him. And he said a lot of things yesterday, including, quote, without any progress in discussion, it's kind of hard to see how I step on the field, is what he said. So we'll see exactly how that ends up playing out. But, you know, he talked about how much he wanted to be there and wanted to be in Washington, and just came out and basically just said how frustrated he was that the talks have gotten to this point where there's still no deal left to be done. So sounds like a lot of anger building up and frustration from the Terry McLaurin side of things directed at the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, heard some conversation on Sportsless today.
Shout out to Unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, just kidding. Smartless is a great podcast, by the way. But about the idea that if you have a great quarterback, you shouldn't. I think this was Evan saying, if you have a great quarterback, you shouldn't pay a receiver. I guess that age, and that age part of it, I'm kind of with. But as you pointed out, it's like you have a QB on a rookie deal, yeah. So that's how like Seattle, for example, is able to load up when they had Russ and win it on his rookie deal. I think that you pay other people.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're good right now. The Lions last year, you could have given them 14 guys, and they would not have stopped the Washington Commanders on the Lions' home field in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'd probably want to – I understand there's some pain, and maybe you're overpaying, but that is part of the deal in this league too. And the cap, it is real. But again, it's not like the cap in the NHL. You can do some stuff.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into the Titans coming up next. Who is most likely to be the breakout player of 2025 for the Tennessee Titans? And no, you cannot use Cam Ward as an answer. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.